Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No. Let's try something else. Hit it, Joe.
Three idiots sharing memories with fans who watched the show. It's the best of both our worlds.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best of Both Our Worlds, the official, unofficial Hannah Montana podcast, the show where three idiots share our memories of Hannah Montana with the fans, so that way you get a chance to see the other side of the best damn Disney show ever. I am one of your hosts, Jason Earls. I play Jackson Rod Stewart on the show. I like to make my face as red as possible whenever I do that.
Matches your coat.
Thank you very much.
I'm Shannon Flynn. I was a director and acting coach on the show.
I am Douglas Danger Liebelein. I was one of the writers and co-executive producers of the Hannah Montana television show.
I love that. I love that. Do we have any quick fit checks before we jump into any of the shenanigans today?
I'm in the red Ricos.
Me too. We did not plan it.
We didn't. We actually didn't, and I felt stupid when I walked in.
Yeah.
I didn't bring my Rico shirt. I just have a Mickey shirt.
Oh, but I love that.
Classic
Mickey. But the mouse that rules us all.
You are wearing something big and loud.
No, this is yet another one of my fantastic Stray Kids related pieces. Ordinary Affair is the company that makes it. They're friends of my wife. They have an incredible shop. But it's a bunch of the album names in cool, sort of like a NASCAR-like jacket design.
It's a super cool jacket.
It's very cool. I am not cool enough to pull it off by any stretch of the imagination.
I beg to differ.
No, trust me, this is rough for me, but Katie looks amazing in this.
Katie looks amazing in everything.
I know she, but lots of cool stuff, lots of jersey sort of stuff. And
I like
and
it.
So I thought I'd go a little bold and a little crazy today.
Little varsity jacket.
Yeah.
Little varsity Jackson.
All right. Before we jump into today's episode and start with our little babow sweet niblets, we want to thank everyone so much for all their support this past week. You know, all your likes, your comments, they mean the world to us. So we'd like to start this episode like we're going to start every one of them with our little Hannah Montana spotlight, where we share a few of our favorite comments with you guys.
Yes, I love this one. You guys haven't seen this one yet.
No,
so
I haven't.
I'm very
seen
excited
it.
To share with you. Sloth but Fox IRL commented on Instagram. This is fantastic. I was a tad delusional as a kid and was fully convinced Hannah Montana was a reality show. I mean, I knew Miley was Billy's daughter. I grew up hearing his music. Dolly Parton was a household name too, and I didn't understand celebrity guest appearances. I was convinced everyone knew the secret besides the state of California, because that's where she lived. And in order to live a normal life, that's all she needed was for her neighbors to not know. I was fully convinced of this until weeks after I saw the Hannah Montana movie, meaning that end scene just completely destroyed me for days.
Oh,
I panicked when a kid from Cali moved to my school, which is what triggered me into learning that it wasn't really a reality TV show. How amazing
is that?
Okay, that
is amazing, but I will tell you this, and I hadn't read that yet. Part of the reason that I believe personally Hannah was a success was we were right before like six-year-olds had phones,
yeah.
Right? So they didn't know everything about the world yet. And the people who came to our show really believed this was real.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a fervor to it because they suspended their disbelief or they really believed it. Nowadays, when people come and say, how would you do Hannah today? It's really difficult because a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old knows she's playing, knows it's Miley playing a part. But back then, they really didn't. And that's what was, the magic was we hit that moment.
Yeah. I always thought that like there'd be a great like sociology class about this, how like Disney literally told the universe that this girl was a international pop star.
Yes.
And then when the show aired, she was they just sort of manifested it into reality. We told the kids and they accepted it.
And it wouldn't work today because they know too much.
Yeah.
Right.
But also there's something to be said for using her real name in the show.
Oh yeah. If we didn't use her real name, it wouldn't work.
You're right. Exactly.
Everything fell into place. And if Billy wasn't her dad, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It all fell into place in this magical way that made kids just like this. And they're not the only one.
Yeah, this was so like, this was the most extreme example of somebody really buying in. And I was like, I have to share this one.
I
love this one.
I love it too. And also, I used to believe that what I was watching on TV was real. Like that there were cameras in people's living rooms, like when I watched sitcoms. Okay. Alessandro Sorrentino, 9680, commented on YouTube, "This is genuinely the only podcast worth watching."
I agree.
Thank you. Thank
100%
you.
True.
Please tell your friends.
I know. share.
Please share.
yeah. No, I love a nice short, sweet one as well.
Yeah, No, I appreciate it.
So if you guys would like to be a part of our Phantom Montana Spotlight, please just leave a comment or review on any of our platforms on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, you name it, you write it, we'll read it, and then we'll put it on the show. This is one of my new favorite parts of the show. So,
I love it.
So keep them coming. And then finally, make sure to check out our website, bestofbothourworlds.com. We'll have all of our shows on there, all of our YouTube shorts. There'll be behind-the-scenes photos, the occasional giveaway, and an ever-evolving merch store. So definitely keep checking it out. Yeah. So that takes us to our Little Babau Sweet Niblets for the episode. Shannon, what would you like to start us with?
Well, this episode that we're going to be discussing is called Oops, I Meddled Again. It aired on July 14th. 2006. It was written by Lisa Albert, and it was directed by Chip Hurd. The main notable guest cast was zilch. Nobody. Not a zero. Maybe, but there might be somebody notable in the episode.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
And the title of the episode, Oops, I Meddled Again, as we like to do, is a play on a song title. And this one, if you didn't know, you're buried under a rock. It was Britney Spears' smash hit, Oops, I Did It Again.
Oh, I love it. So for my little babau sweet niblet, in this episode, Becca, she breaks up with her boyfriend because she has a massive crush on Oliver Smokin' Okin.
Right.
The question is, what BAFTA and Golden Globe winning Oscar nominated actor plays the role of the boyfriend? A role, by the way, that has no lines and is not credited, so he's basically a glorified extra.
He's 100% an extra.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
So we
can I just tease something too really quick?
We'll see.
Basically, that means that this person showed up on the day of filming, and Tia, who was our second, pointed at that guy and picked him out and put him in that role.
Totally random.
Random.
He ends up
totally
getting
picked.
Yeah.
Maybe
random.
There were three guys and somebody chose, but it was just luck
and
of the draw.
And I do think it'll blow your mind when you play
100%. And we liked the kid and ended up bringing him back. He read for another role. He read for another role.
No,
we're not saying who he is.
It's fine,
but he read for another role and we ended up casting him in another role.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the same role.
So hit us with our so we can get off track now. Or back on track. Right. Hit us with our secret title this episode.
The secret title of this episode is Elvis Has Entered the Building.
Ooh.
I wonder what it could mean.
Good little tease.
Well, Mama and Dolly fought over Elvis. Could
that's
be that.
True.
That's true.
Could be something.
So remind us what this episode was about.
When Becca, a girl from Miley's school, emails Hannah Montana for advice, Miley learns that Becca has a secret crush on Oliver. What a coincidence. Anyway, Miley and Lily facilitate Oliver asking Becca out, resulting in Oliver and Becca having a very successful first date. Nice. Things seem to be swimming along. Until Becca emails Hannah again and says she needs to break up with the boy she's dating. Uh-oh. As Miley and Lily wonder why Becca would break up with Oliver, they see Becca in the cafeteria
with a cute boy.
In order to save Oliver's feelings, they convince him to break up with Becca first, because that's what you do.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Oliver is on his way to do that when Miley discovers it was the boy in the cafeteria that Becca was talking about breaking up with, and not Oliver. In fact, she's breaking up with her ex because of how enamored she is with Oliver.
The hell you say?
Yes. Now, meanwhile, this is a mid-story meanwhile. Meanwhile, as Miley's meddling makes Oliver's life miserable, Rico forces Jackson to wear a chicken suit in order to sell hot wings at the shack. All right, back in the A story, back in the important stuff.
One sentence.
In order to set things straight, Miley is forced to wear the chicken suit in order to parasail down the beach to catch Oliver before he breaks up with Becca.
Just all the makings of an amazing episode.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Wow.
No, there's, you know what? There's a lot to work with here.
There's so much for this episode.
It's not bad.
No, it's just not
Hannah.
No, actually, Hannah. That's what it is.
It's not Hannah. Okay, so we talk about the origins of this episode, right?
Yeah.
This was an early episode. I believe it was shot fifth or sixth.
It is in the first batch of five.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was another instance where we didn't know ourselves yet. We hadn't found that secret sauce that made Hannah. And we ended up doing a very Disney Channel story.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't want to cast aspersions on the Disney Channel, you know, sort of paradigm.
No.
Or Raven. So the way I like to describe it, and I haven't explained this to you, so you'll probably hate it, but comedy, laughter, and orgasms and drugs can give you... Wait, slow down. Oh. Slow down.
I don't like any of this.
No.
Let me take
notes. They're all like a big release, right? Yeah. They're all this euphoria. And they're all good, no matter what, right? There's no bad pizza, there's no bad orgasms, there's no bad laughter,
stop
right?
saying the word.
But when there's an emotional base to them, they're better. When you have an emotional connection and then you laugh, the laugh is bigger. When you have an emotional connection
to
someone...
I know that
one. You have the word you don't like me to say is better. So the regular Disney Channel fare was laughter. Yeah. It was fine. No one is saying that it was bad. It was still laughter.
Yeah.
But Hannah put a base to it when we did our show right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it was better. It was more satisfying, I think.
I think it just filled a different niche or a different need.
Yeah, it separated itself.
Would you say it filled a different hole?
All right, Shannon.
Jesus, guys.
God. And you thought I was the one who was going to go over the line.
I don't understand how this show somehow has turned me into the prude one.
No, we talk about your balls an awful lot.
Okay. So anyway, so this episode to me is another Raven episode. Okay.
Yeah.
So remember, the paradigm for Raven is, in a nutshell, she has a superpower, which is she can see a little bit of the future.
Yeah.
She sees a little bit of the future. She always misinterprets it. She acts on that misinterpretation. She screws things up. She realizes and now has to get things back to right again. And it all builds towards a big comic funny scene. Break down this episode, it's exactly that. If you think of Hannah as Miley's superpower, this episode is a episode of Raven, right? She has her superpower, which gains her the knowledge that someone has a crush on Oliver, but she misinterprets that knowledge, and so she makes things worse, and now she has to make things right, all leading to the big funny flying in a chicken suit on the beach.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And there's no emotional sort of base to it. It's a great Raven. It's just not a Hannah.
Yeah.
Right?
We sort of were talking about this earlier, the idea that it is a Raven episode is so on point.
Right.
Because if you look at the place where Oliver's confronting Becca on the beach with Miley, and then Becca's like, well, why does Miley know what I wrote Hannah Montana?
Right.
Oliver's solution to that is, she can read your mind. So it's literally like, it's a psychic solution for the problem. It's literally like it was ripped out of a Raven outline.
Yeah, no, it is.
As opposed to, like, even like our silly joke of a solution.
Right. It is absolutely.
Raven worked.
Yes, 100% absolutely.
Worked.
Yeah.
Was probably the most popular show on Disney Channel at the time.
Right. No, so it makes sense.
And so, therefore, like, using that formula in a new series, 100%
you would imitate
makes sense.
The thing that works.
Right. It works.
To try
and we were pushed towards that, and we had to push back. Okay, so like next week's podcast is we're going to do On the Road Again.
Yeah.
And that, we've talked about this, that episode, and we'll get there when we talk about it, tune in next week, is such a Hannah episode.
Yeah.
It is so us. We were fighting to do episodes like that as people were pushing us to do episodes like this. We finally broke free, but it took a while. And this is one of the older ones where we hadn't broke free
yet. And we're still in this really weird place as we're doing this podcast, going through the first third of this season, because we recorded the first five, and they are not our best episodes. Mm-hmm. The show doesn't quite know what it is. The kids aren't quite as good with the comedy.
Right.
There's just a lot of moving parts, a lot of challenges putting those episodes together. And we air them so far out of order that here we are like episode 11 as far as what aired, and we're showing episode 5 that we shot. So that's why the episodes feel like really good episode, the Mama episode.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then you get like an uneven episode that doesn't feel like a Hannah episode.
Right.
And then we'll do On the Road Again next week. Great episode. And then we're going to end up doing Bongos on Rooftops, which will make sense in a future episode.
Yeah.
But like, so we're still in this really weird place where it's not that the show actually was good and then was getting worse, good and then getting worse. We just aired them in the order where it was like, while they were still not great.
Yeah.
You know, and then we keep sprinkling them throughout.
And the joy is we get to a point where we just get in our rhythm.
Yeah.
And we'll be back. We'll be
we will get there eventually, but we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So where did this come from?
Yeah.
Where was the origin in the writer's room? As you might imagine, it's from sort of just the generic kids meddle and other kids relationships, right?
Right.
You know, and so that we started there. We were trying to cast that wide net of getting people involved. What do kids think is important, you know, as opposed to telling a story about a character and an emotional issue that they're having. The email, the advice column came from the hot sheet, which is, you know, this thing that they gave us that told us what was hot with kids, you know.
Where does that come
from? Disney had a research department, and they would give us what's called the hot sheet. And it was basically a list of...
Kids love ice cream.
Yeah. No, seriously, it was the dumbest thing. The only funny thing about the hot sheet for me was, for the first season, the hot sheet was like, Sweet Life is popular. Like, what is popular? SpongeBob. And, you know, like, kids love emailing each other. Like, and it was all this kind of stuff. And then when we get to season 2 and 3, we were on the hot sheet.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we can't do a show about ourselves.
We were the hot sheet.
So really, none of this came from a really strong emotional place.
Yeah, yeah.
The other little tidbits about this episode that I want to flag are... this episode was the episode where we see Miley's bra, which is important to me personally because, as I will tell this story later on, I had numerous arguments with S&P, Standards and Practices, our censor lady, who's lovely, but we got into battles over what we could and couldn't do, and I would come back to this episode a lot.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Where I'd argue, how come we can't say that? We saw her bra.
Yeah.
Right.
The world knows she wears a bra, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, and let's just clarify.
Yeah.
She wasn't wearing the bra when we saw it.
It was her loose bra.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm carrying the bra in. I was a little surprised that we were able to show the bra in the first place.
Yeah, so was I. That's
me
why,
too.
But that's why I always argued.
Yeah.
We already crossed this line.
But then I also thought it was funny, like, how colorful the bra was. I was like, oh, so if we're going to show the bra, it's still going to be the Disney note of it.
It
needs to be, like, the most colorful thing in the set.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
well, you know, the bra, it's got to pop.
Yeah.
Right. It's got to stand out.
Exactly.
In that sense.
And then the other thing about this episode is because it was an early episode, playing your game from a previous podcast, there are like a ton, 3-4 main title sequence moments in this episode.
Yeah, there's actually 4 by my count.
I counted 3, you counted 4.
Yeah, I counted 4. Yeah, there's when Oliver and Lily are doing sort of that football run in place, right? Before he goes in to talk to Becca.
Yep.
Billy Ray Cyrus doing his little fudgy buddy sideways jog down the beach.
Grapevine.
right? Lily and Miley whacking Oliver's arms at the same time because he's an idiot and doesn't realize Becca has a crush on him.
Right.
And then the last one is actually Jackson with his headphones on coming in doing the dance at the beginning of the tag.
Oh.
That's also in the opening.
I didn't recognize that. Yeah. I didn't know
it's where I'm doing the little booty shake. I've got the headphones on and doing the booty shake.
And you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then the other, my last note about this one, and I'm not 100% sure. I know I'm 100% sure about us, but this was our first locker shot from inside the locker out.
So many.
And we used it a lot, and I loved it.
Yeah.
The thing I'm not sure about is, was this the genesis of that on the Disney Channel? Because
I think that had been done before.
Because the
locker,
there's now the locker diaries.
It
right?
feels like something that, like, again, like Raven would have done. Yeah, I've never seen it. Comedically, like.
But I'm going to pretend we invented it.
Okay.
And,
and I'm going to pretend like I never stole it for other shows that I've worked on.
It's a shot.
It's an homage.
It's an homage, right.
Yeah.
But I just those are my only other little things about remembering this episode.
Yeah.
That chicken suit?
Yeah.
Mm. Jason, that thing must have been.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Because one thing I do remember is you standing next to me and literally the fuzz and the fur was like caught in your neck and you were
just flop sweating the entire time. Yeah, wasn't particularly breathable. All of the feathery things, like irritation, you get all rashy and like there's several things like that throughout the course of the show where you're just like physically uncomfortable as well as looking like an absolute
tool. And what people need to know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't. It's really hot on stage.
Because
the lights are warm. And when you wear stuff like that, literally, I mean, makeup is there every 2 minutes patting you down to make it look like you're not sweating your balls.
And also wearing that like mask on top of your head.
Yeah.
Even still, like.
Just trapping everything.
It's terrible. And then watching it too, I was like, oh yeah, they're, as we were talking about, like watching their acting regress in a way because it was so.
Yeah, it was so new.
In the shooting order. And like there were, Miley was just starting to react. Like somebody had given her a note like, you have to react to that line. Yeah. So we have something to go out on and stuff like that was. And then like sometimes in this, I was just noticing that there's like playing fast and loose with the timeline of how long our characters have known each other.
Sure.
Because there are things like, and I know we talk about this later, but like, oh, I liked Oliver in preschool. And it's like, but
Miley wasn't there.
Miley's only been there in theory for two years.
Yeah.
Because, and so it's, there were just little moments like that. There were, and also the one where he's like, I wish we hadn't grown out of the pinky swear, which again implies that they've known each other for a really long time. And then there was something like that in the chicken suit where you were clearly miserable.
Yeah.
There was a beat where you were staring straight downstage, like just past camera, like 1,000-yard stare. Rico is talking to you.
Yeah.
And then Miley comes and talks to you. Never look at either of them.
Yeah.
And to me, watching it, I thought either Jason's really miserable in this thing, probably true, and then using it, I don't know if you were directed.
No, I think I was directed that. I think it was just like this is a beaten man who is like he is done with Rico's bullshit. He's just gonna he's not engaging. It's
right.
Like I'm not doing this anymore. You couldn't pay me enough. So I feel like it was more directed. I mean, I'm sure it was physically uncomfortable and like turning your head with all the scratchy stuff was not like my first instinct. But I feel like that was potentially more of a directed thing than Jason Earls, the actor, being over it, which I was over it for sure. But like,
that's not in your character. I mean, you as Jason, in Jason's character, it's not in Jason's wheelhouse to quit on something.
Yeah, to be.
No, he would not. I would vote you didn't.
To disengage on camera.
No, never.
Yeah,
never.
I'll disengage in rehearsal.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you'll disengage in life.
Yeah.
But in 100 episodes, I never noticed that you quit on a joke or didn't give it your all. So it must have been that we directed you to do that.
Yeah.
It just, for me, it was just so inactive.
It is a weird choice for Jackson. He's usually a little bit more like.
Yeah, it felt like. Just so dead to me.
His protests would normally be a little more active.
Yes.
Agreed. Then you were still finding the character too.
But it was a choice.
And then there were just a couple of like obviously stuck in time, like minute details like the PDA. Oh, I stole your PDA from your locker, and
I'm like, what is a PDA?
And then also that real high-tech computer that stayed on the kitchen desk for so long. It was really... What about you,
Jason? I love that somehow, like, email is, like, the
sexy email technology. Like the biggest monster on the planet had an email column. You
know? Like a blog.
Yeah.
A blog.
A Dear Abby.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's true. It's like, how many times has the advice column...
Yeah.
Storyline played out in other sitcoms like of this nature. What about you, Jason? What do you remember?
I love to point out all of our Little Uncle Earl references.
Yes.
I love the evolution of that. We got another quick one in this one where Miley's like, first you see her, then you smell her just like my Uncle Earl. you know, just a quick hitter. You're in, you're out.
Yep.
I get who this Uncle Earl guy is. I was a little surprised that Oliver didn't pick up on Becca hitting on him. Considering, like, he's smoking oaken, and basically he thinks every girl's interested in him.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? He walks into the room, and he's going to flirt with everyone and expect to get results. So I thought it was a little funny that he was oblivious here.
Yeah.
And I think that part of it might be because, like you said, we aired this out of order. We shot this a little earlier. We're still maybe figuring out who Oliver was.
For sure.
Is he the really good version of smoking oaken? Is he a donut? Is he a... He's maybe a little bit of both. I think we were still figuring some stuff out there. But I was a little surprised at that. One of the things that really leapt out to me was how hard the girls drill Mitch when they punch him in the arm. Because they're making fun of him for not realizing that Becca's like hitting on him. And for me, that just really... My reaction to it is it shows how comfortable they are with each other. Because they just took a lot of freedom in how they... physically interacted with each other.
Yeah, but to be fair, both Emily and Miley have brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. Older brothers, and in Miley's case, a younger brother. So it's like them, I'm sure, feel very comfortable, like, wrestling.
Yeah. I think that makes a ton of sense. But I liked it. It was weird because, like, it's assault, but I liked the fact that they were comfortable enough to assault him. Like, I think that's kind of my takeaway.
Fair enough.
And then Rico, obviously, we've talked about this. Right. Is the first time we see him. It becomes very obvious that we shot this out of order, aired it out of order.
Right.
But one of the things that I did like about this introduction is the way it was presented to me was this is like Seinfeld's Newman.
Yes. Right. Oh, for sure.
So that's why when you literally we rip that off
in the
first
Newman.
Scene,
yeah.
It's like, hello, Rico. I was direct, like literally say it like Seinfeld saying, hello, Newman. And so it was a good way of sort of establishing exactly like what this this bratty little kid was going to be like in my relationship with him. One of the other things that leapt out to me was I remember how early in the show I was really embarrassed about my own singing ability because, again, everybody's so good at that and I am not. And so when I had to put on the chicken suit already, that was humiliating in its own way. But then having to sing the, everybody dance, everybody sing, everybody buy a chicken wing was just like it was a perfect storm of just stuff where I wasn't terribly confident.
But then is that because in the pilot, it was so great. I mean, we've talked about what a pivotal moment that was for a number of reasons. You say, the...
Singing with Billy.
Yeah, singing with Billy. Was it because you had to sing...
I think it's because like when...
Solo a cappella?
I'm not sure what... I think I could lean on Billy. I could blend my voice with Billy's. And so I wasn't as self-conscious about it. And also the song's really funny.
Yeah.
This is like, you're already swallowing your pride in the chicken costume, and then you're not singing a song that's particularly funny. So you're just sort of like on your own on an island, just doing kind of embarrassing stuff.
Right.
Got
it.
Yeah. And then this also kind of continuing with that theme of being self-conscious about that stuff, that the tag is something that evolved from something else that they wanted. Like, I was supposed to come in with the headphones on listening to something, and like a guy being part of a musical family, I was supposed to be drumming on everything in the kitchen.
Okay.
So it was supposed to be like, ta-da-da-da on the pans, ta-da-da-da on the plates, this sounds different than that, so I'm going to make something that sounds cool. You don't hear the music, but you hear the music that I'm playing, and it was supposed to be awesome. And I don't have that ability. Like, I have no musical ability. So this was one of the first times where I very, very directly couldn't do the thing that was on the page. I just did not have the skill or the ability. And I remember the writer that was on set, who was, had a very specific idea of what this bit was very frustrated with my inability to do this.
Wow. Right.
And so, yeah, this was one of the first times I was like, oh, I genuinely can't deliver this, so we have to find something else. Wow. And we landed on the dance instead, and I think the dance is funny and it totally works.
No, it's way funnier.
But usually when I end up doing something that's not on the page, it is a deal where we found something funnier.
I just realized, is this the origin of Bongos on Rooftops? Because this was, was this where Bongos on Rooftops in the brain was born?
I don't know, because I think this episode might have happened after.
Well, then it was a regurgitation.
No, it wasn't. It's not. And this Bongos on Rooftops was after this. Okay, and so I know that for sure.
This will make sense in a few episodes when we get to the episode that we lovingly referred to as Bongos on Rooftops.
I didn't put that math together until right now, but I think it is.
Okay, so
it is.
So
100% is.
So this may be a little confusing. Put a pin on this, and when we get to that episode, we will revisit this and explain a little bit. Mm-hmm. But so that being said, there was a real desire to have this musical bit work, and I could not make it work.
Right.
And again, early in the season, they're going to get fired. Really, really self-conscious about everything music related because Miley and Billy Ray are so talented. Mm-hmm. This was a bit of a pride swallower for me.
Sure.
But again, I think it turned out great. And a little piece of it ends up in the opening credits. So
you did
it
what you do.
That bad. Yeah.
You made it you and made it funny. And that's, I think we learned more from that than we did from making the bit work.
But as an actor, it is a weird thing when you actually get something in the script and you're just like, oh, I genuinely don't have the ability to salvage this. I don't know how to fix this.
But as a writer, that's good for us. We learn what's in your wheelhouse, what you can do well, and we write towards you. This was one of those things where, we shouldn't have tried to force you into a box you couldn't fit in. We should have just leaned into what you do, and we ended up finding that and doing that.
But also, it makes sense too. Like, knowing this is what ended up with Irish Dancing, and Irish Dancing was before this.
Right. So yeah. So
in air order.
Yeah.
Right. So we're learning you.
Yeah.
So you failing at this was actually a bonus for us because we then began to learn what you do well.
Yeah.
So
in the moment, it was a little like.
Yeah. Oh, we almost fired you.
See, so life lesson.
Yeah.
You
learn
more from your failures than you do from your successes.
Well, it wasn't our failure; it was his.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
we might cut this because there's a lot of innuendo in this episode already, but we do have a little bit of a spicy little innuendo in this one. Oliver says, take a ride on the Ollie trolley. I was always a little thrown off by that one.
To me, it was
so funny how younger boys can get away with it. The Suite Life always got away with innuendos and weird because it was almost like it was too young to be creepy.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden they get to an age where we like, he said this a year ago, and they're like, yeah, but now he's too old to say it.
Yeah. So that was one that leapt out. And then also like in the part where I get mobbed, I'm in the chicken suit and Rico's like, free chicken wings.
Yeah.
And I get mobbed and people are grabbing at me and stuff. And I yell out, watch the nuggets.
Yeah.
I think it's very funny. It makes me laugh every time, but I'm always surprised when stuff like that makes it into the episodes.
I believe the rule is, the unspoken rule is, if it goes over the younger kids' heads, if they have to have it explained to them, then, and it's not blatant, right? It's not offensive. But if the joke is on the line and they don't get it, then we're good.
And you are dressed like a chicken.
And
you do have wings on a plate.
The balls are in evidence.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm just always surprised when they actually make it in.
Right,
so
yeah.
I know. It's wonderful.
I do also like pointing out some of the iconic lines or the memes that come out of our show. And in this one, when Jackson and Cooper are making fun of Oliver at Rico's for being terrible at reading girls and everything with Becca, Jackson hits him with, are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only Tennessee. the finger guns thing is always like what makes it work for me.
Yeah.
So making fun of him. But I get sent that meme a lot. I really love that one. So I wanted to point that out. And then I'm not going to name the name, but I'm still
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Genuinely stunned at the person who's in the cafeteria that Beck is breaking up with. And we'll name him at the end.
Yeah.
We're sure that that's
100% him.
Look,
okay.
100% quality, him. The quality...
of the non-HD version.
Of the non-HD version. And I was like, but you can tell.
Okay. It is 100%
absolutely
him.
Tell 100% okay. It's him.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
So let's jump into what we did right, what we did wrong, what we do different. What did we do right, Dougie?
I'm in love with the way in which that porch scene with Miley and Billy played out. It's really the only thing in this episode that I think was really artful writing.
Mm-hmm.
That scene, he lets her lead it and come to her own solution. She plays both parts, essentially.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
It's super not cute. Just that she steamrolls him, though. He lets her do it. He sort of encourages her.
Right.
And that is their relationship. And I thought we did that really, really well.
I love it how it literally ends up all the way around from like, letting her off the hook, I'm going to punish you, da-da-da-da. And then by the end... she's like, what do we need to draw you a map? And even though he let her do the thing, he's like, yeah, that helped. Like, there's an honesty in the, I think I did this right, but I don't know how we got here.
I thought
that was really sweet. I did love the line that, you know, when he plays the little song and asks her opinion, he's like, well, Jackson said he liked it, but then again, he is a little sucker.
Yeah.
I just think it's such a funny joke, and it really does, again, like... It colors the family in a way that I just really appreciate and I love.
Yeah, and so I think we did that right within this sort of generic sort of Disney Channel. So I think we did that right. I mean, my only two other really favorite standout I loved moments are I like that we established, we didn't do it on purpose, but we established that Lily had that crush on Oliver.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up using it later, which I thought was smart. So it's not necessarily here that I liked it, but it was later that we drew it back.
Sure.
I love it because you're right, because the natural inclination is almost like the Harry Potter thing. You think Harry and Hermione should have ended up together.
Right.
And this you would think that Oliver and Miley should be endgame, not Jake Reiner and the other guys, but like the guy that was there the whole time. But this actually lays the seed or plants the seed for it being Lily and him the whole time.
Which is really great. Awesome.
And I like that we knew that we had done it and drew it back. But I mean, in this moment, we didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then I just love that we did the poop tag.
Who doesn't
love the poop tag?
A good poop tag. You gotta love a poop tag.
I do love. I think it's probably one of our best tags. Honestly,
it's just a one.
Sorry about that, buddy.
It's so good. That's my bad, buddy. And I'm like, I've got the streamer.
Sorry,
of doors
my
of
bad.
Paper.
Yeah, that was. That
it's
was,
just so classic, Jackson. And I think again, this show does banger tags most of the time.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
really, really good tags. And this is
one
favorite.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For me, like, watch the Nuggets was. I mean. Yeah. And we got so many jokes about your balls. It's
a lot of ball jokes.
It's like a parade of balls for Jason.
It's too much. It's not that impressive. You know, we don't need to be talking about it.
I did like there was a moment in the hallway where they do pull Oliver downstage, like to find a more intimate area so that they could keep the secret, you know, and there was nobody else around there, not like our real estate office.
Yeah, it's still a little crazy that he's like blowing up at her at school and being like, you know, Hannah should just stick to her own business, just stick to singing and dancing and stay out of people's business. But the fact that there's nobody around is better.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah. And then I love how much of a tomboy Lily is in this.
Yeah.
And I feel like we got away from that in later.
Yeah.
That there was that, but her Tom, like, it's just so funny. Coach, like, pumping him up and doing the football run and stuff like that. And then there's also this really funny, spontaneous moment in the cafeteria, not the one where she jams the
Brussels sprout
in her mouth, but it's they said something, and this guy walks by. He doesn't really react or anything, so I don't know why they did it, but it was like, hey, what's up? You know, like, there was just this, like...
the girls improvised a line to the...
Yeah, to the background guy. And it was just, one more time, like, that little diamond in the rough of knowing that things were headed in such a great direction for them. It was...
I loved it as the show went on. The kids taking more ownership over moments in the scenes where you'd find little... added yeah. bits of connectedness that yeah. were that were really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Jace? What stuff did we do right?
I actually, in the weird sort of way, I think that Jackson with the bra and Jackson wearing her robe, mm-hmm. They're both really funny to me, but then I also love the idea that it is really about this brother and sister invading each other's personal space.
Right.
They're, you know, when we have to share the bathroom and Miley spits on me, you know,
so funny.
Us using each other's stuff, me destroying Barry Bear, her destroying Joey Vitolo's baseball,
yeah.
her having to brave my bedroom in order to get to the, like, all of those, like, when we encroach on each other's personal space, yeah. I think are really funny. And also, I think just does a really good job of fleshing out their actual brother-sister relationship.
Sure.
I just think absolutely. It's a really fun dynamic to see play out.
Yeah.
And then, like I sort of mentioned earlier, I think that these early episodes, even though you can tell how inexperienced they are, you can see how much their real personal relationships bleed through into the show. Mm-hmm. And you see it specifically just by how they are in each other's physical space.
Yeah.
They're willing to hit each other.
Yeah.
They're, when it's time for them to be pals, it's arms around their shoulders and Mitch pulling them in close. They hug each other.
Yeah.
They hold each other's hands. And a lot of times when you're an inexperienced actor or you're working with other new people, those boundaries are really hard to figure out.
Yeah.
You don't want to make somebody else uncomfortable. You don't
sure.
want to feel uncomfortable. And the fact that they were so close in real life, it made it to where those boundaries didn't exist between them in the show. And then also another thing that I think we do right often is from the very beginning, anytime Miley or Billy Ray sings a couple of lines of a song,
so
grabs
nice.
A guitar and strums a couple of chords, it doesn't matter what it is, it's these gentle reminders of how talented they are musically.
Yeah.
And you do buy into, oh, this is just a family that is supernaturally talented in this way. And they by all rights, deserve to be superstars. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, 100%.
Every time Billy Ray picks up the guitar, I'm just like, yeah, this all makes sense.
And also, yeah. you just know he's in his comfort
yeah.
zone. And you know, like, yeah. he just, so, it you could, it just reads on camera so beautifully.
Yeah, and especially in those early episodes when, as he's getting more comfortable with the format of being in a sitcom,
yeah.
you stick him in a scene and you stick a guitar in his hand and suddenly, like,
yeah,
you relax into it. Do
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like having your warm comfort blanket just there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we get to next week and on the road again, when we get him singing, the scenes he had to do afterwards are so rich because he's so comfortable.
Yeah.
And he's so connected.
Yeah. There's a funny joke in this that I don't know why it's funny and it's so random, but I like moments like this in the show. When Lily and Miley are encouraging Oliver to break up with Becca at the house,
yeah.
the scene is over. And then I come walking through in the chicken suit.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's going on? And I'm just like, don't drain the tub. I'm making soup.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't know why it's in there.
It makes zero sense.
It makes zero sense, but it, for whatever reason, it makes me laugh every time. And then there's also a really cute line between Miley and Rico when Miley wants to use the parasail.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She has to put on the chicken suit. And she says to Rico, you know, you're one evil little boy. And Rico's like, it's a little too late for flattery.
Yeah.
It's just such a great defining character moment
for this
newly introduced
right.
person.
Absolutely.
So lots of stuff that I loved. For an episode that we have some critiques about, there's still
yeah.
a lot of stuff that I
yeah,
really enjoyed.
Of course.
What did we do wrong, Doug?
It's a short list because it is all-encompassing. I don't think there's a bottom to the episode. I don't think there's an emotional core to it.
Yeah.
Miley doesn't have a dilemma that I really care about. She has a little bit of a dilemma. Like, I care about Oliver,
yeah.
and I care about her hurting Oliver, but nothing really happens, right? So
yeah.
the thing I don't like is the story construction. It feels like a kid's show. It doesn't feel like an episode of Hannah.
Right.
And then we haven't mentioned it yet, but I could go on for days. That green screen. It was so bad.
It's bad.
It was so, we're building to the big comic finish and it was just trash. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Even for the time. And we always make excuses about, well, it was 2005.
It's a Disney budget.
It's a Disney budget.
Whatever,
no,
but like,
that
it's bad.
It
was funny because it was bad, not because
yeah.
it was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked.
I know, and we agree on a lot with what
yeah.
like generally, yeah.
yeah.
But the story was too generic. Yeah. It's been done. It's played out. Mm-hmm. And I know the show is finding its voice. And also, this is in retrospect, right?
Right.
This
yeah.
is in
yeah.
retrospect with everything like that we know of four seasons of this show. Like, we can look back on it. And there's, and you know, there's always got to be one episode that, you know, isn't the best.
But we've had a couple
this,
of them.
Oh, yeah, this, is, this definitely isn't like one of our worst episodes.
Oh, no.
It's just a it's just an episode that's not about anything.
There's no stakes. It's not remarkable.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in the minority here, but the whole wiki-wiki-wee and a wiki-wiki, all that stuff just bugs the
ba-bow
out of me.
That's a big
ba-bow.
That's a big ba-bow.
You're welcome, Lee.
They're going to have to leave that on the screen for a while. Holy cow.
Because, no, it's just so not, it's just not a kid thing. No. And a wiki-wiki-bee and a wiki-wiki. Oh,
and also, anytime
that.
You have two people singing the same thing without any sort of prior rehearsal, like, it's like, it better be good because it's so unreal.
Yeah.
It breaks your suspension of disbelief.
Rhyming and doing that kind of stuff is cute and fun for kids, right? Yeah. And rap and that culture was, you know, just be blooming, right? There were times where certain people, certain forces were trying to force it into this show like that.
Uh-huh.
And, but that's why Cheese Jerky is so good.
Yeah.
Because it is organic.
Yeah.
Yes, it's organic to the story. They rehearse it. They do it. It makes sense within the story as opposed to just two kids going wiki, wiki, woo. Which
yeah,
is
but the
just,
other thing, too,
you know,
is it sounds like if you've ever been to Hawaii, you take the wiki wiki bus.
Yeah, right.
Like you know what I mean? Because in this, those just aren't words.
Cheese
jerky made sense.
Yes. But
this was just trying to take nonsense words and rhyme them.
Yeah,
there is no.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was stuff that I'm sure that was staged in order to make it shootable. But like when they're on the beach and we cut to Becca and Oliver and they're just standing there, she's sitting on the rock and Oliver's just standing there. There's no attempt to be like, hey, and then she comes in and she comes in and stops the breakup.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Like there's nothing like that. There's just, it's just, we cut to them and they're frozen in time for some reason. So, but I, again, it was like Billy Ray at the movie theater looking at
there was
posters
nothing,
with no words on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, and it, knowing that there was kid hours, knowing everything like that, sometimes you have to simplify, but it was just, you know.
Yeah, I think, because there's no real, like, base for the episode. We're trying to pack a lot into these jokes, and some of the jokes are just trying a little bit too hard.
Yep.
Like, for example, when Rico decides he wants the chicken wings at the shack, and I don't want to do it, but I finally give in, and I crouch down in front of him like, all right, what do you want, mild, medium, or spicy? And then he says spicy and spits in my eye.
Yeah, right.
Like the idea of me crouching down to him, it's such an obvious setup for him to spit in my face that I'm just like,
Chekhov spit.
God, we're trying really, really hard here. There's like so many things that like, where again, just like, oh my eye, like all that. It little kids will find all that stuff very funny.
Sure.
It totally works. It, you know, just not my favorite.
Yeah.
I think we've hit most of the other criticisms that I had. Let's talk about what we would do different.
Okay.
There is one thing that we could have caught maybe during the week of rehearsals that a lot of inexperienced actors do. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, anytime the girls had to read either the emails or the things on the PDA, they before they even are get to the screen, they're already reading it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's just, like, you wait a beat and a half, and it's going to make sense, but they're just so – it's just one of those things where you go – somebody should have taken a second and locked that down.
Yeah, it's like listening to the other end of a phone conversation, right?
Yes.
Don't just
let
answer.
Them respond.
Let them talk.
Yeah. So there was a little stuff like that. But in general, again, as much as it's not my favorite episode, there's not a ton I would change because for what this episode was trying to do, it does all the things it's trying to do. You probably have a different take as the writer, but
I have a pitch for a fix for it. I mean, because my big thing is there's no emotional base to it, right? My pitch now, and it's in hindsight, you know, is that make Miley screw up. Make Miley's involvement in Oliver's life lose Becca and have her go away. And then, so Miley's whole thing is, I need to keep the secret because I'm afraid people are going to hurt me, treat me differently when they know I'm Hannah, right? It's gonna negatively impact me. Well, what if this episode is she learns that her identity as Hannah hurts other people too, negatively impacts her friend Oliver? If the end of the cold open was, oh my God, I lost Oliver's girlfriend. I ruined his relationship. Oh, shikes. You know, then we have a real story. Hannah has negatively affected her life. Somehow I'd rearrange it to that. And then the other thing is, imagine this episode where she goes, they're down the beach. And then she's got to run down the beach. Nothing changes because she's in a chicken suit and flies in the worst green screen ever.
Yeah.
Like, why do we do all that stuff? It makes, like, I would try to eliminate
off of that pitch. I think there's potentially something fun there where instead of her being flying through the green screen and that's our joke, she's running frantically looking for it, but she's in a chicken suit. So like the way she's looking is like she's very like,
that would have been really funny.
And she's like, you know what I mean? Like if she adopts some of the physical mannerisms, maybe you get some physical comedy out of it and you salvage it. But
again,
but the green screen, no.
It needs a whole rewrite. Yeah. That's all. I would have rewritten the whole thing.
What would you say? Oh, would you different?
I would have put the toilet paper. This is just my, but the
this
toilet
is you
paper,
being a director.
Toilet paper under the kitchen sink makes zero sense. Like, put the toilet paper in a bag on the table. You know, like they had just gone to the grocery store.
Great pitch. Grocery bag.
That's, you know what I mean?
Because in my mind, I was thinking like, but we never established that there's like a pantry or there's no place in the kitchen that like makes very much sense. So
the
like
grocery bag makes sense because he brought it bag
is,
and then he forgot to bring
is
it.
Perfect. Yes. That's such perfect. A good pitch.
Where were you?
Yeah.
I was sitting in a director's chair with keeping my mouth shut.
I should have spoke up.
Then... Like, Becca never came back. I thought she was a good actress. I think it would have been nice to have seen a little kind of Oliver romance arc. And she just, like, she liked him, but then she never came back. And I thought that would have...
I thought she was cute, and I thought she was a perfectly fine little actress. And it was fun.
And then we could do your bit, which is where Hannah Montana, like, breaks them up.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason. And then
let's go
like,
back. Let's bring it all back.
We did it. We did it. It's fine.
And then the thing that we can never get, which is more time.
Yeah.
You know, like just more time to shoot. Because that scene on the beach when she does ultimately, you know, like intervene and it just felt so rushed.
Yeah.
That scene felt like we got 15 minutes to go and the lines were just too fast and it was too easy and it was too like...
That is probably...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if we hadn't spent 3 minutes on the world's greatest green screen, we could have...
Yeah. Well, and also we used to make the joke too. We've said various versions of this, whether it was like the Saving Private Ryan or whatever. But it's... We always talk about how the first half of the day you're shooting Gone with the Wind and the second half of the day you're shooting Dukes of Hazzard.
Right. Yeah.
We ran into that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do a couple of audience questions as we as we land this bird. Erland BS94 asks, who was your favorite adult guest star on Hannah Montana, and who was the most funny and interesting to work with? You guys have any?
I mean, it's always Dolly.
It's always Dolly. But I will say for me personally, Rob Reiner was special. He was special for me.
And also, for me, funny and most interesting, like, personally that I got to one-on-one work with was David Koechner.
I was going to say the one that was most interesting, very funny, but most interesting was Koechner because of everybody that came on the show over 4 seasons, he's the one that improvised the most.
Yeah.
And if you were in a scene with him, you better hold on to your ass because you had no idea where he was going to go. Like, it may just be a regular scene and all of a sudden he has a bag. He's going to pretend like there's a crazy raccoon in it. He's going to attack you. Like, you have no freaking idea what David's going to do. I found him very, like, fun and interesting.
The piddle box.
Oh, yeah, our kids went to the same school, same as the dad. You had no idea what David was going to do.
But I think, I mean, the universal answer is Dolly for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's so many. Rob Reiner. Yeah. Personally, John Cena picking me up and throwing me over a couch.
So
highlight.
Good. And he was the nicest.
Nicest
and he
guy.
Invited us to... WWF, like when it was WWF, and he like was like, "You guys, you should come watch me. Like, yeah. there would be so much fun. Let me know. I'll get you tickets."
We should have him on the show. We should. I know. We should come on.
Oh, we'll ask. I'll ask him.
We'll get y'all on.
Yeah. But I feel like also that answer always changes based on whatever the most recent episode that I watched is.
Yeah.
Because I have such like strong affinity for like
right
everyone that was on there.
Of course.
Christopher Alba 4723 asks, Jason, were you in an episode of According to Jim as an extra in a movie theater in season 1 episode 21 Cheryl's Day Off? You're damn Skippy. I was. a lot of people know this, a lot of people don't, but from probably early 2002 mm-hmm. to Hannah Montana. Like, all the way up until a few months before we did the pilot of Hannah Montana, I did hundreds of extra jobs. Mm-hmm. So if you watch anything from that time, you will probably find me. Right. I'm in NCIS as an altar boy. I'm in Old School as one of the frat guys. Mm-hmm. I'm in...
Regular on Gilmore Girls.
I'm a regular on Gilmore Girls. I'm in the movie Seabiscuit. Like... I'm in a million episodes of That's So Raven. If you want to go on a scavenger hunt, and if you find anything you think might be something I was on, drop it in the comments. I will try to confirm or deny. But there's so much stuff. It is a fantastic treasure hunt.
That's amazing.
Who could possibly, as famous and as loved as you, who could possibly be like an extra in a show at the beginning of their career? That is a weird thing, isn't
what
is, it?
What? You know, what nobody, weird? That just doesn't
what a
happen.
Great no. segue. Yeah. Yes, so in this episode, as we established, Becca breaks up with a boy. Yeah. That boy ultimately ends up being somebody who won a BAFTA, a Golden Globe, is nominated for an Oscar, and is basically an extra, and it is Austin Butler.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was in this episode. The first
also
time
in
we've
Dune.
Seen.
Dune 2.
Yes, also in Dune. And also Baz Luhrmann's Elvis, which is why this podcast title is Elvis Has Entered the Building. Because we had Elvis before he was Elvis.
We did it.
We came all the way around.
Full circle.
Mm. Yep. I love it.
Speaking of full circle, okay, this episode is about overstepping and stepping in it. and doing anything that's asked of you to keep your job, which leads to this related question. Does anybody keep their toilet paper under the kitchen sink? And or have you ever not changed the toilet paper and found yourself in a similar circumstance?
I keep my toilet paper in the laundry room.
Yeah,
I have not. However, I will say this. I have two sons. And there are often times when I would go to their bathroom, see that they were out of toilet paper, and think they have to get their own. They know where it is. Go get it yourself. I'm not going to replace it.
Uh-huh.
2 days later, I come back. They're still out of toilet paper. What the hell is happening in here?
What are they using?
Like, what is it is horrifying. I don't ask horrifying. Questions. I just am like...
You know, they probably just use your bathroom then. Yeah?
I don't want to think about any of the possible answers.
What about you, Shani?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure as a child I have not changed. Or just left like that one last layer before...
Wasn't me. I didn't use the last square.
There was still toilet paper on the roll. And we have a little thing to keep our toilet paper in. And my husband is... awesome about replenishing that thing over and over again.
I'm going to take a different approach.
Jason?
I don't even care anymore, you guys. All right. No, this is my approach. I intentionally just get rid of the toilet paper because I think it's the test of a good relationship to see if they will bring it to you. Oh. So I'm constantly just chucking toilet paper around, just being like, "Honey," to see if she'll bring it.
I'm so sorry.
So that's the.
I'm so
does
sorry,
she do this
Katie.
When she comes?
I am so sorry.
She's like, "My bad, buddy." No, I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm all right, we did it.
We did it.
A little pot of humor here at the end.
Yep. Literally.
Thanks for another wonderful episode, you clowns. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. If you want to watch the pod, make sure to subscribe on Best of Both Our Worlds YouTube channel. Please do all the things. Comment, like, subscribe. Please share with your friends if you're enjoying this. Let's get some more people hanging out with us and playing. This is our favorite thing in the world to do. So
it is.
It's true.
Follow the show on Instagram at Best of Both Our Worlds Podcast, on TikTok at Best of Both Our Worlds, and on X at Babao Podcast. Don't do that. Hit us up on bestofbothourworlds.com for the website. Like I said, got cool videos, lots of behind-the-scenes stuff, and ever-evolving merch store.
Yeah, merch.
So check
that out.
This has been Best of Both Our Worlds, created and hosted by Jason Earls, Douglas Danger Liebline, and Shannon Flynn. Executive producer Renee Colvert. Produced by Jeffrey Murphy. Filmed, edited, and finished at Quest Pacifica, with special thanks to Katie Boyum and Lee Anthony Smith. Original music by Joe Serafini. Social media strategy by Shelby Stahl and Beloved Social. And who wants to take us out?
I believe you do it this time. Oh, I believe it's your turn.
And with that, I'll say, good day, Daddy. I said good day.
I'm gonna take next episode. You'll see what.
Yeah, I can't wait. I get it.
I can't.
It's the best of both our worlds.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.